After that, you have no preaching, you right? Praise the Lord. Amen. I enjoyed that song. You enjoyed that. Say amen today. I'm telling you, that was a blessing. The blood is still there. Nothing's going to wash it away. There's no doubt about that. Am I on here? I know I'm on, even if this is not. I know that. I'd like you to find your place in the book of Exodus, chapter number 5. Exodus, chapter 5. While you find your place there, let me just give you a few announcements here, if I may. Let me remind you of the Bristol Revival going on again all this coming week with Brother C.T. Townsend preaching. Been a number of people saved already. Praise God for every one of them. We thank the Lord for it. And the church vehicle will be prepared to leave here at 6 o'clock Monday through Friday. If you need a ride, you come right here. That'll be a good thing. And then this is Memorial Day weekend. And we do not want this weekend to come and go on this Sunday without recognizing and paying our respects to those in our military down through the years who have died to give us the privileges that we have to be here today. We know that freedom comes from God. There's no doubt about that. But God uses individuals to give us earthly freedoms, you understand? Not spiritual freedoms, but earthly freedoms. I'm glad I am born and raised and I am in the United States of America. If you don't like it, get out of it. Amen. I'm serious about that. I mean, there's plenty of places all over the world that you can live in. If you don't like it here, go somewhere else. I'm telling you, we love the United States of America. And we thank God for those who have paid the ultimate sacrifice. I mean, God has used them to help give us the freedom, me the freedom, to stand up and preach to you today. And we don't want to ever lose sight of that. I'd like for all of our active military, retired military, if you wouldn't mind to stand for just a moment, all of you all over this room, if you wouldn't mind to stand upstairs and down. I know Memorial Day weekend is about those who have passed away serving in the line of duty. But I want to say thank you for your service. I know that many of you are retired, some of you are active duty. And we want you to know, and you know this, that you're in a church who thanks God for you. We're glad that you are here, and we salute you. God bless you. Thank you for serving and helping us have our freedoms today. God bless you. I think it would be great to give them a round of applause. You can be seated. Thank you very much. I'll be honest with you. I've been traveling through the book of Acts, traveling through the book of Ecclesiastes, but through the death of Sarah Briggs, the Lord immediately brought my attention to this particular sermon. And it's a thought that I cannot get away from. I've learned to listen to that. May I say this? I've not learned to listen to that. I've learned to listen to Him. Because the Holy Spirit of God has laid this thought on my heart. And it's a thought that if you don't need it today, you will. If you don't need it right now, you better listen to me. There's coming a day when you will. It's found in Exodus chapter 5. If you're keeping notes with me, I'm preaching on Exodus chapter 5, verse 22 through chapter 6, verse 13. But I'm only going to read chapter 5, verse 21 and 22, excuse me, verse 22 and 23. Exodus chapter 5, just to get our text, then I'll read the other later. Exodus chapter 5, verse 22, the Bible says, "And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, Lord, wherefore hast thou so evil entreated this people? Why is it that thou hast sent me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in thy name, he hath done evil to this people, neither hast thou delivered thy people at all." Let me paraphrase what's going on. God has appeared to Moses, and he's told Moses to go to the land of Egypt and set his people free. But when you read here, and all in context, I'm going to say some of this again here momentarily. When Moses gets to the land of Egypt, things get worse instead of better. And when he comes to the end of chapter 5, he asks the Lord, why? Why? Why have you sent me? Why are you doing this? Why? 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 And this morning I want to speak to you on this subject. When all you can do is ask why. When when all you can do is ask why. Let's pray together. Father, would you help me, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Moses has been on a journey in the will of God as we come to this particular passage of Scripture. And if you read it up to this point, it's been like a roller coaster ride. He was protected as a baby from death. He has fled Egypt in fear for his life. He has ended up in Midian, where he spent 40 years of his life. And here Moses saw a burning bush from which God himself spoke. This is all before our text here. The Lord told him through the burning bush to go back to Egypt to set the Israelites free from bondage. Moses made a lot of excuses, but the Lord stripped him of all of his excuses until he came to the point of surrender to the will of God for his life. Moses and Aaron arrived in Egypt in response to the will of God for their lives. They have God's authority and they march into Pharaoh's presence to ask him to let the Israelites go free. Pharaoh did not respond right. Instead of letting them go, he increased their burdens and had their officers beaten. The officers went to Pharaoh to ask for mercy, but were not giving any mercy. Moses and Aaron were waiting on these officers as they came out from their meeting with Pharaoh. And these officers accused Moses and Aaron of being the reason that they were being so badly mistreated. And they even said that they had put a sword in the Egyptians' hand to kill them. And at this point, Moses is distraught. He's discouraged. He's obeying God, but he finds himself under attack from God's own people, the ones that he went to help. So he goes to the Lord, and he asks the question. He says, God, why? See, it didn't make any sense to Moses. He thought the Lord was on his timetable, and things were not going according to his own plan. Get the picture. Moses is only doing what God told him to do. He's living in subjection to the will of God. He's not in Egypt by his own choice, but by the will of God he's there. And yet instead of things getting better, they're growing worse and worse. Life was not making sense. Life had thrown a curveball to Moses. He's at the end of his rope. His plans were shattered and laying at his feet. All hope was gone, and he is so discouraged that all he can ask at this moment is, Lord, why? Why is this happening? Why did you send me? Why? Question, have you ever been there? Have you ever had your plans and suddenly they are shattered at your feet? Has life ever thrown a curveball to you? Have you ever been so discouraged and distraught that all you find yourself doing is asking why? If you find yourself there, you are not alone. Moses was there at this point in his life. Most, if not all, will find themselves there at this point sometime in your life too. But beginning in chapter 6, we see three things to keep in mind when all you can do is ask why. So we move into chapter 6, and I want to give you a three-point outline here. When all you can do is ask why is this happening? Why do you do this? Why is it this way? Why? Three things to keep in mind. Number one, listen to God's word. Look at chapter 6, verse number 1. Then the Lord said unto Moses, now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh, for with a strong hand shall he let them go, with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord, and I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. But by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. And I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage. And I have remembered my covenant. Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage. and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm, with great judgments. I will take you to me for a people. I will be to you a God. Ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you in unto the land concerning the which I did swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And I will give it you for an heritage. I am the Lord. I'm telling you, the first thing to do when all you can do is ask why is go to the Word of God and let God speak to your heart. Right here, I like what one man said, the best framework for the Lord God to do His most ideal work is when things are absolutely impossible and we feel totally unqualified to handle it. That's His favorite circumstance. Those are His ideal working conditions. As soon as Moses is at his wit's end and he doesn't know what to think and all he can do is say, I've obeyed God, but it makes no sense to me. I have no understanding here. God, why? And he comes to the end of himself. He's at his wit's end. He doesn't know what to think, what to do. The Lord began to speak to him. And notice that this chapter opens with the great four-letter word, then. Then the Lord said unto Moses, in other words, when Moses' own plans and dreams had crumbled at his feet, when Moses' life made no sense to him, when Moses could only ask why, then God spoke to him. And one man said, how often does God allow us to get to the end of our own selves? Then when hope is gone and when the arm of the flesh is utterly collapsed, God steps to the rescue. Concerning the Lord saying, now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh. Miss Lashley said it this way, only when this is complete and we have drunk the dregs of the bitter cup of despair of self, does God step in saying in effect, now child stand aside. Now that you are where you ought to be, I will begin to act. The Lord stepped in with his own word. Now when you look at what he said, you see a 3-point outline. When I saw this, I'm telling you, this is such a blessing. God gave Moses a 3-point outline sermon. He began to speak to him and said, now the Lord said this. And he gave him three things. First of all, he said in verses 2 and 3, he said, I am. You see that in verses 2 and 3. He said, I am the Lord. They've known me by God Almighty, but they do not know the name Jehovah. And in this we see the first thing the Lord spoke to Moses was about his own identity. In other words, the Lord reminded Moses who he is. He said, I am the Lord. Then he said how he opened, right here, he appeared to Abraham, he appeared to Isaac, he appeared to Jacob by the name God Almighty, but by his name Jehovah, he was not known unto them. In other words, he is the self-existent, the eternal, unchangeable, ever dependable, covenant making and covenant keeping God. He will do what he said he will do. And while Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob heard his promise, they will see him keep his promise. The Lord is telling Moses here to get his eyes off his current circumstances and be reminded of who his God truly is. He is in control. He will always keep his word. No matter what life may bring, God's promises will always prove to be true. I remember one preacher told a story. He said, I remember sitting with Cynthia at our kitchen table, spending time with a couple who were absolutely broken. Both were in tears, and they just unloaded their hearts before us that night. These two had reached the end of their strength, the end of their answers. The woman looked across the table and said, what do you say to people who come to you and just don't know where to turn? It's not an easy answer, this preacher said. He said, but I'll tell you one thing I try to do. I try to remind them of who's in charge of their lives. I try to remind them that God is the one who calls the shots. I try to remind them that God is in control and that no matter how it appears, the situation is never out of control because He is the Lord. He said that helped her. just to know that she wasn't the one who had to piece together a massive puzzle. Talking about that she wasn't the one that had to piece together a massive puzzle with no matching parts. She needed to quit looking down at that impossible tangle for a while and spend some time just looking at the Lord. He knows how it all fits. And even in those moments when we can't imagine how it could ever come together, God is making a beautiful picture. Mrs. Lashley said it this way: this is everlasting blessedness. When the heart can find its sweet relief in God Himself, the character of God is the perfect answer to despair and distrust. The first thing He said to Moses, because this first point is this: when all you can do is ask why, listen to God's word. And when God spoke during Moses' time of asking, why, God, why? The first thing he reminded him, I am the Lord. So he spoke about his identity. Secondly, he not only said, I am. Number two, he said, I have. Look at verses 4 and 5. He says, and I have also established my covenant with them. Verse 5, I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel. The latter part, I have remembered my covenant. Notice this, he said, I am God, and I have done some great things. Now stay here with me now. The second thing we hear the Lord speak to Moses concerning what he had all, I'm talking about right here, during his times of why, is he told Moses and reminded Moses of the things he had already done in the past. He reminded Moses how he had established his covenant with the Israelites to give them the land of Canaan, that he had heard their groaning and he remembered his covenant. In other words, the Lord reminded Moses of what he had already done. And in this, he was pointing Moses back to his previous promises and his current care for his people. You know one of the greatest things that you can do when all you can do is ask why? You know one of the greatest things you can do is just start remembering the goodness of God. Just start remembering what the Lord has already said, what He's already done, and you start to realize that even though I can't see it right now, this is not the first time. There have been times in my past when somehow, some way, God came through in my life. And God says in times of why, He'll remind you who He is. I am God. He'll remind you what He's done. I have, I have, I have. 1 Samuel 12:24, only fear the Lord and serve Him in truth with all your heart. For consider how great things He hath done for you. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. At this time, there's no doubt in my mind that Moses thinks God has brought him there and left him all alone. I mean, he's obeyed God. He's gone to Egypt just like God said, and things are turning against him. They're attacking him. Makes no sense to him. He's like, oh God, why have you done this? Why have you done this? In the middle of it, God says, let me remind you something, Moses. Now you're to where I can use you. Now you're getting it. You're at the end of yourself. And if this happens, you need to know it's not you, it's me. And I'm going to remind you, first of all, I am God. I'm going to remind you, second of all, I have done some great things. But then he doesn't stop there. He gives him his third point outline, and he said this, I will. He said, I am, I have, and I will. Look at verse number 6. Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord. Here it is now. I will bring you out of the out from under the burden of the Egyptians. I will rid you out of their bondage. I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. And I will take you to me for a people. And I will be to you a God. Verse 8. And I will bring you into the land. The latter part. And I will give you for inheritance. I am the Lord. The third thing we hear the Lord speak to Moses about is not only who He is, I am. What He's done, I have. But what He will do, I will. And we see in this, He gives them 7 promises. He said, I will bring you out from under the burdens of Egypt. I will rid you out of their bondage. I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. I will take you to me for a people. I will be to you a God. I will bring you into the land concerning the which I did swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob. I will give it to you for an heritage. The appearance of things seems to contradict God's promises. And sometimes in our lives, does it not seem contradictory? Amen or not this morning, friends. Every now and then, something goes on and it makes no sense. You can't figure it out. Why? Why? Why is this happening? Why is this going on? I can't connect the dots. It's times like that when God can become so real to you that you would not change what you had to go through when you get to the other side. I'm telling you, God always keeps His promises. Whether you believe it or not, He's going to do what He says. He's going to keep His promises. He began His promises and ended them with a clear statement. In other words, these things here, notice in verse number 6, He said, I am the Lord. Then He said, I will, I will, I will, I will, I will, I will, I will. Then He ended it, verse 8, I am the Lord. It's a promise sandwich. I am the Lord. I will, I will, I will, I will, I will, I will, I will. I am the Lord. Amen. I'm telling you, friends, this is enough to ride out into the unknown territory with. It's to understand that God is working behind the scenes. The bottom line is when all you can do is ask why. This is point number one. By the way, it's my longest point. Aren't you glad? Amen. As far as I know, it's my longest point. But anyway, when all you can do is ask why, number one, go to God's Word and listen. Listen to God's Word. He reminded Moses of who He is, what He had done, and what He will do. We need to believe His Word. His promises are what we have during these times. Look here, please. It's all we have during these times. So you don't understand, I've got something else that helps me through. Hogwash. That's a counterfeit. It will not, it may start helping you through for a little while, but it won't get you to the destination. I'm telling you, listen to God's Word. Preacher said this is how we need to pray, even when we feel as if we never want to pray again. You ever been to where you say, I don't even want to pray anymore? He said, when we get to that point, here's how we need to pray. Lord, I don't feel like praying right now. But hear my prayer anyway, Lord. I will believe You. Even though the tide is rising and I'm already on tiptoe, I'm already here, the tide's rising, it's about right here. He said, even though I'm right there, I will believe You. Even though it seems like it's taking You forever to keep Your promise, I will believe You. Even though I've come to the ragged end of my strength, the dregs of my hope, the broken shards of my plans, I will not look for a shortcut. I will not take a carnal option. I will not retreat from the battle. I will believe You. I'm telling you, number one, when all you can do is ask why, listen to God's Word. He'll speak to you the same way He spoke to Moses, and here's what He's going to do. He's going to say, I am. I am God. Trust Me. He'll remind you of what He's already done. Can I get a witness here? Has God been good to you? Say amen. He'll remind you of what He's done and how He's always kept His Word. Amen. And He'll point you into unknown territory and say, I'm going to tell you something. Your situation may look bleak. Your situation may not make any sense to you. But I'm going to give you something to ride into the storm on. You need to trust I am God. Look what I've done. And I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. And you're going to get there whether you believe it or not. Amen. Now this is what God does. Listen to His Word. Number two, you're probably going to start throwing hymnals at me here. If you do, that is one advantage of being short. I can get down quick, okay? Number one, listen to God's Word. Number two, learn a valuable lesson. You're not going to like it. I don't like it. It's found in verse 9. Look at it. God recommissions him. And Moses obeys. No doubt Moses is encouraged. And Moses spake so unto the children of Israel. Notice this now. But they hearkened not unto Moses for the anguish, for anguish of spirit and for cruel bondage. Did it get better? Right now, did it get better? No. So here's the lesson to learn. Moses had been questioning the Lord. He had asked why. The Lord directly, spoke to him directly to him, encouraging him in his word. The Lord had directed Moses to himself and to his promises. He told Moses to go and tell the Israelites about these promises. He said, go tell them. The great thing is Moses obeyed. This verse tells us Moses spake so unto the children of Israel. In other words, he just did what God told him to do. He gave the word of God to these people just like God told him. But a lesson we all need to learn comes out in this verse. The Bible says they hearkened not unto Moses. These people refused to listen to Moses, the promises of God. Their spirit was impatient and their bondage was so cruel and they wanted nothing to do with Moses at this time. Nothing. A warning here is about the peril of letting our troubles so dominate us that we pay no attention to what God says. That's a side note. But here's the lesson. When all you can do is ask why. Now some never go to God's word, okay? Some never get past point one, all right? They close the Bible, won't anything to do with God. Just close the Bible. I don't want him to talk to me. I'm done. If that's the case, I'm sorry, there's no help. But here, if you go to God's word and he speaks to your heart and he encourages you and he says, I am God, I have done, I will do. And God encourages your heart during those times of why. Here's the lesson. Here it is. Your circumstance may not get any better. Isn't that encouraging today? It's not encouraging, but it is true. I'm not saying it's going to stay the same, but folks, God never, listen to me please, God has never promised that your life will be a bed of roses. He's never promised that. But he has promised he'll never leave you, he'll never forsake you. And what I'm saying to you is Moses' heart has been encouraged to the point he's ready to go back up, take up the reins and say, okay, great, I've been encouraged. And I'm going to tell them, God met with me, God's doing it. And they say, I don't want anything to do with you, Moses. There he gets deflated again. Oh, may we learn this valuable lesson. That when we are brought out of our discouragement and doubt, the current circumstance may not get any better. See, some people have the mistaken idea that if God really loves them and his promises are true, that their life will be hunky-dory all the time. Some even get encouraged in God's word, but when their situation doesn't seemingly change, they'll draw back into distress and despair again. They'll serve God as long as he meets their terms. But if it doesn't turn out the way they thought, they go off in doubt and disbelief. Friends, the promises of God can carry you through your circumstances even if they do not change. That's the message here. Number one, listen to God's word. Let him speak to you. He'll remind you who he is, what he's done, what he's going to do. Learn a lesson that even though he encourages your heart during that time and you're ready to so-called take the bull by the horns again, charge hell with a water pistol, so to speak, don't be thrown off course if you get tripped up again. It's called the Christian life, friends. Then a third thing that we learn. What do we do when all we can do is ask why? Listen to God's word. Let him speak to you. Learn a valuable lesson that even when he speaks, your circumstance may not change. And then number three, just keep living by God's commands. We see this in verse 10 through verse number 13. Notice this now. Right after the Israelites deny, I don't want anything to do with Moses. Look what God did, verse 10. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, go in, speak unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, that he let the children of Israel go out of his land. And Moses spake before the Lord, saying, Behold, the children of Israel have not hearkened unto me. How then shall Pharaoh hear me? Who am of uncircumcised lips? And the Lord spake unto Moses, said unto Aaron, and unto Aaron, and gave them a charge unto the children of Israel, and unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. Look here, please. Wow. You say, what's going on? Moses has been discouraged. Moses has been defeated. Moses is living in doubt. And the Lord in His grace spoke to Moses and encouraged his heart to the point that Moses went back to the Israelites to give them God's message. However, they're still so down and out. They want nothing to do with Moses, nothing to do with God's word. No doubt this discouraged Moses. The rug has been ripped out from under him again. And there he is. And something amazing happened. God told him, go speak to Pharaoh. And tell him to let the Israelites go. It's a great thought coming out here. I'm getting close to it. Moses asked the Lord how Pharaoh would listen to him if the Israelites wouldn't even listen to him. Then the Lord gave them a charge. Direct quote, gave them a charge for the children of Israel and to Pharaoh to bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. In other words, get this. In the midst of Moses' doubt and disbelief and discouragement, the Lord gave Moses something more to do. Did you hear what I just said? And commanded him to obey. He's telling Moses to go on. Don't let a human being cause you to quit. I've given you an order. And I know it doesn't make sense to you. And I know whenever you go and you thought that they would bow down and say, okay, thank you. But Moses understands something. I knew all along they would say no to this. And I'm telling you that even though you're doubting, you're discouraging, you're discouraged, things aren't lining up for you. I'm telling you, here's what I want you to do. Now go to Pharaoh. Here's the point. When you find yourself asking why, look here, please. God's not going to tell you, okay, it's time to sit on the sidelines. God's not going to tell you, okay, I understand. Get out of the game a little while and just catch your breath. No. God will give you more to do. Is this making sense to anybody? I'm telling you that God in your doubt will never tell you, have a seat. Stop serving me. I understand I'm with you. Just stop. No, God will not do that. God will say, wait a minute. I know that you know who I am. I am God. You know what I've done in your life. Remember it. Know what I'm doing. And even though you can't connect the dots, you don't know what's happening. You don't know what's going on. Let me tell you something. You keep doing this and you keep doing that and you keep obeying there. Don't quit on God in the middle of your questioning, in the middle of your doubting. One of the greatest things you can do is obey God. Don't quit on God. Keep on going in the will of God. Moses has been brought to the end of himself. Life has thrown him a curveball to the point that he finds himself asking God, why? And in this message we consider during these times of asking why, listen to God's word. Don't run from the word of God. Run to the word of God. Let God speak to you. He'll give you a 3-point outline. I am. I have. I will. Good night. That's blessing my heart right there. And in the times of asking why, God, what's going on? I can't make any sense out of this. It's just a bunch of jumbled up mess. I know it's a puzzle, but I don't even see any pieces that even match. What in the world's going on? You go to God's word, and you come to the end of yourself, and you're even down on your face. I don't understand. I can't get this. I can't make sense of it. God will remind you, I am Jehovah. I am God Almighty. I am the Lord of glory. I am the sovereign King. I am the King of kings and Lord of lords. He'll remind you of who He is.
and He'll start helping you remember things about what He's already done in your life and how good He's been to you, and He's always kept His word and He's trustworthy. And then He'll say, let me tell you something. I'm reminding you who I am and what I've done, because I'm going to give you some great promises that's not going to make any sense to you. And He's telling us here that when you leave My presence, it may not change. Your circumstances may not change. And in the middle of the devil's going to say, won't you just quit? Won't you just give up on God? Won't you just throw in the towel? It's not worth the time. And God says, I'm not going to diminish it. I'm going to give you some other things to do. Do more for Me. Get busy for God. Let me tell you what that's called. Faith. Amen. Amen. And I'm telling you, we all need this. I cannot get up in front of you as your pastor and tell you that I've never doubted. I cannot tell you that. I cannot tell you that I've never asked God why. Why, God? But I can testify that I am living proof of this message. That when I have asked why, God Almighty has come to me in His Word. God has encouraged me and reminded me who He is and what He's done and what He's going to do. And sometimes the circumstances don't get better. But I'm going to tell you what God helps this dear man to do right here. This pastor right here, he's not dear. I just got carried away. This pastor right here to do is He gives me more and more and more. And in the middle of it, He'll say, you're questioning, aren't you? You're doubting, aren't you? Yes, sir. Go out and tell somebody about Jesus. Amen. You're doubting, aren't you? You can't make any sense of it. Yes, sir, I can't make any sense of it. Get your Bible out, start reading it. You follow me what I'm trying to help you with. I'm telling you, if you don't need this today, you will. You will. The remarkable pilgrimage of English poet William Cowper comes to mind whenever we think of a man coming to the end of his rope. Cowper found himself so deep in discouragement and despair, he tried to put an end to all of it by drinking poison. But God graciously led somebody to find him, and his stomach was pumped in time, and he was delivered. Soon he recovered. The despairing rider hired a coach to take him down to a certain river where he intended to plunge himself into the dark, swirling waters. But the driver of the coach saw this in time and he'd have none of it. So he restrained Cowper, got him back into the coach, and drove him home. Frustrated with that attempt, he found a knife in the privacy of his home. He tried to fall on it, and wouldn't you believe, the blade broke. Still not deterred, he rigged up a rope in the basement, put his neck in the noose, dropped into thin air, but somebody just happened to find him before he strangled to death. He couldn't even kill himself. Finding the depth of sorrow, he picked up a Bible, turned to the book of Romans. In the pages of that book, he found a passage which brought him to his knees. And faith in Jesus Christ. Years later, as a mature man of God, he penned the familiar hymn. Here's what he wrote. God moves in mysterious ways. His wonders to perform. He plants His footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. Deep in unfathomable minds of never-failing skill, He treasures up His bright designs and works His sovereign will. That man tried everything else, but he finally tried the right source. And God graciously brought him to Himself. I'm about done. I wonder this morning, have you come into this auditorium and you're at your wit's end? You are so discouraged, doubting God. Life has thrown a curveball to you to the point that all you can do is say, God, why? I'm here as a preacher called of God to tell you, don't you give up. Don't you throw in the towel. Don't you get on the sidelines. You go to God's Word and you let Him speak to you and show you who He is and what He's done and what He will do. You keep on obeying God's commands and realize your circumstance may not get any better, but that you can live in peace and out of despair through it all. I remind you in closing this morning that we're on this side of this story and we know that God did keep His word, didn't He? Amen or not? He always keeps His word. Even when you can't figure it out. So when all you can do is ask why, listen to His word. Learn a lesson, it may not get better. And just keep living by His commands. Don't quit on God. Let's bow for a word of prayer, shall we? Father, bless it. Help us, I pray. May Thy will be done. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Those that are getting baptized, now's your time to make your way to the baptistry, please. If you're following the Lord in believer's baptism, now's your time. We're preparing for baptism, those that have trusted Christ as their Savior, and they want to be baptized. Amen. Some of you today say, Pastor Jody, I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I'm born again. I know that Jesus Christ is my Savior. I don't hope so. I know so. Be honest. Would you raise your hand? You know He is. Hey, don't ever get over the fact that you can raise your hand to that question. You can put your hand down. If you raise your hand to that, that's part of the have. You understand? I have. What has He done? He saved your soul, friends. That's enough to shout for 1,000 years right there. Is there somebody here today say, Pastor, I couldn't raise my hand to that. But I sure do wish I could. I could not raise my hand to that. But the next time somebody asks that question, I'd love to be able to put my hand up with a surety. You say, pray for me. I'm not going to come to your seat. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you out. But you say, Pastor, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm a Christian. Would you raise your hand? Anybody like that? You say, pray for me. I'm unsaved or I'm just doubting, whatever the case may be. Would you put it up? Anybody like that? Let me ask you this question. How many of you have come in today asking why? God used the passing of Sarah Briggs to burden my heart to preach this message. It was as if the Lord told me, Jody, I know the hearts of the people, and there are people in my church at Buffalo Ridge that question has come through their mind. Why? And I want you to take that Sunday morning and answer it for them. That's what God told me to do. How many today say, Pastor Jody, by the way, you are not alone. There are times that I'd have to raise my hand to this. Right now, I don't think I do, but there's times when I would have to. If you're in this congregation, you say, Pastor Jody, when God laid this message on your heart, He knew I was one of the ones that needed it. It may not be about Sarah. It may be about something else. But you say, I've been asking why, and God is speaking to me. I've been in a situation that I just can't figure out. And God is using this message to speak to me. I needed this today. Be honest, would you raise your hand? You say, God is speaking to me. God is speaking to me. Yes, that's several of you. In just a moment, we're going to pray. I'm going to open the altar call. Nobody ever has to come to the altar. But it's open for you if you'd like to come. Just to spend time with the Lord. If you need help with anything, we have altar workers here to help you. But that's only if you need help. Some of you just need to come and thank God for what He's done. Some of you need to come and say, thank you, God, for speaking to my heart today. And help me in my why not to give up. Help me to do more than I've ever done. This is it. Let's stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed, shall we? They're beginning to play through softly. Father, take the thoughts and use it. May Thy will be done. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary's singing.
If God has spoken to you and you want to come pray, if you want to come, you come. This is your time with the Lord. As He sings, would you come? Come now, please. Would you do it?
Every day, trusting through
the altar's open.
The stormy way.
Let the Lord
have His way. Even when my faith is small, trusting Jesus, that is all. Trusting as the moments fly.
Why, God?
Trusting as the
time.
Days go by.
Respond.
Trusting
let Him.
Let the
Lord have His way.
Whatever
give it to
befall,
God. God can
trusting
help you.
Jesus at His all.
Keep singing, Brother Gary. Folks will respond.
Trusting Him while life shall last. Trusting Him till earth be past. Till within the jasper wall. Trusting Jesus, that is all. Trusting as the moment flies, trusting as the days go by, trusting Him whate'er befall, trusting Jesus that is all.
Thank you. You may be seated. Let me give one announcement. Men, you come on. We'll receive the offering this morning. We are heading toward Vacation Bible School now, just about 3 weeks away. And last week we had our first Sunday of sign-up. 90 of you signed up. That is exciting. I about fainted when I saw the stack. That's great. That means there's about 30 that haven't signed up yet. Today is the day. Today is the day. If you'll get that filled out, we're going to order T-shirts this week. We need to know your size, need to know who's working. Thank you so much. You've already signed up. It's just outstanding work. And the rest of you, finish the job today. Those sheets should be at the Welcome Center, and I'll be there too if you have any questions. So excited to have you this morning. We're going to have our offering, and we'll pray, and then the pastor's going to baptize several. Lord, we do thank You that You're a great God, that You're a sovereign God who is ruling in the affairs of men, and that we can trust You. Lord, there are times it's so difficult because we can't see what You're doing. Lord, help us to trust You, that You know what You're doing and that You have a perfect plan. We pray for these being baptized. Thank You for working in their hearts. One just saved this week. May they indeed walk in newness of life. Bless this offering. Use it to continue Your work in this place, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is thrilling, absolutely thrilling. This is Kitzrin Catriel Hall. Their mother was singing in the trio. She's up here with us. Dad down there, family. There's a lot of them down there. We're glad they're here. And these are two girls, two sisters. I tell you, they are precious, precious young ones, no doubt about it. So I'm going to have you just step right back here. I'm going to baptize your sister first, okay? Right there. Can you all see her? Can you see her? Can you see me? Yes, right? Very good. But upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus, in obedience to our Lord's command, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the blessed Holy Spirit, buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in newness. Help yourself. That's just fine. This is exciting, no doubt about it. Upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus. You know, I've got the thought in my mind right now. Suffer the little children to come unto me.
Amen.
And forbid them not. For such is the kingdom of God. And upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus, in obedience to our Lord's command, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the blessed Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism. Raised to walk in mercy. Amen. Very good. Billy? This is Lily. She nailed her salvation down, trusted Christ at Sarah Briggs' funeral. And she's coming today. This is Bennett's granddaughter. Now, where's Bennett at? I know he's here. God bless you, sir. I know this is thrilling to you. We've met with her. She knows she's saved. She's born again. She's just wanting to let you know that she's not ashamed. And she's following the Lord in believer's baptism upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus. Obedience to his command. I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, the blessed Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in this. So proud of you. Give me a little man. One more step, okay? I got you. This is Carter. Carter Mann. I know some of his grandparents are here. Mom and Daddy led him to Christ at home. Isn't that a blessing? Bob's up here with us. Hope he doesn't fall in the baptistry up here, but he's up here. And we're so proud of this young man. If you were here for the cadet program, he quoted all the books of the Bible in order. And God's going to use this young man, no doubt about it. We're glad you're here. Why don't you turn this way? Let's let your daddy get a picture. Very good. Let's turn this way. Very good. I like this. And upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus, in obedience to our Lord's command, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, the blessed Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk. So happy. So happy. That thrills my heart. No doubt about it. It reminds you, if you're a visitor, if you're a guest, welcome to the service. If you have a visitor's card, please take it out to the lobby, drop it off to the Welcome Center, get your free gift. If you do not have a visitor's card, but you're a guest and you'd like the free gift, please just go by and get one. I mean that. We want you to have it. We're thrilled you're here. Be back tonight. And tonight will be Graham and Renee's final service with us before they go back to Brazil. And also Travis Steeles and his family. This will be their final service. They leave for Hawaii, going to Reach Military, and help plant a church down there. They leave on Tuesday. We're going to have a mission emphasis tonight. Brother Graham will be preaching. And we're going to share some things with Travis and them as well, having part of the service and all of that. Please be right back in your place. That'll be a good thing. It's good to have Lindsay's mom and dad here. I'm going to ask her father, if you wouldn't mind, to stand and dismiss us in prayer today, sir, please. Thank you for being here.